Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point, and the point today is a Cleveland-based mindset mentality warrior, a great leader in the industry, Natalie Bell. Natalie, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, Joe. Great intro. Thanks for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you.
Thank you.
So Natalie came on my TikTok For You page, a couple months ago, and she had written something, I don't, no offense to you, really remember what it was about at the time. It was something with mindsets. And I was like, wow, that was really great. And I was reading what she had written on the post. And then I noticed, I'm like, that is Cleveland, right? I noticed that she was in Cleveland and reached out. And here we are a couple months later making this happen. I'm really excited to have you. And yeah.
I'm so curious to know. I always like to wonder how people find me on TikTok, like what pops up on your For You page, just to see like how, like where the connection is. So I would be so intrigued to know which video you're talking about.
I will send it to you after so as to not unveil all my
because I do post a lot, so.
Yeah, there's plenty of content, which is great. And Natalie's content is great. Natalie posts a lot on TikTok, a lot on Instagram about, again, mindsets, relationships, dating, fitness. Mm-hmm. What else am I missing?
Yeah, no, I pretty much nailed it, yeah.
Yeah, good. So Natalie is from Cleveland, but I'm going to turn it to you. Why don't you give us a little bit of an introduction as to who you are and kind of your background?
Sure, yeah. Grew up, born and raised in Cleveland. I have two amazing parents, three brothers, and I went to school for nursing. I've been a nurse for 8 years now, and then last year just started my life coaching business called Chats with Nat, Chats with Clark. Promise I didn't copy, but so it's been going good. Super interested in just the mindset realm and relationships, dating, and everything that is, you know, connected to with the mindset. So really enjoy it and look forward to things to come.
Yeah, absolutely. You have a lot going on, and that's always exciting because people that have a lot happening are really interesting just because there's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
So I'm excited that you're here, and I have to ask you, why did you decide to go into nursing? What was the initial draw, and what was your mindset at that point?
Good question. Yeah, nursing always fascinated me. I feel like there's a certain special bond that nurses get with their patients. So I feel like I was drawn to being there for people during a time in their life when they're the most vulnerable, they feel like the most not themselves. And for me, I was like, how can I make their experience here just a little bit better, whether that be like making them laugh, making them smile, like getting them like their favorite dessert from the cafeteria, just like something small like that to like make their day a little bit better. And then I was always intrigued with, you know, the body, how it works. And I was never like, I never shied away from like any of the like blood and guts and that kind of stuff. So it didn't bother me. It was super interesting to learn about. And I just like to help people feel better. So that's what got me into it.
Yeah. Would you consider yourself thoughtful, like as in general?
For sure.
Forever?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I feel like a lot of nurses need to be thoughtful.
To be
not like a grouchy nurse. And you surely don't strike me as a grouchy nurse.
You'd be surprised. There are some grouchy nurses. But to our defense, like we do deal with a lot of
100%.
Not so great things. But, you know, you have to remember these patients are at like the worst possible time in their life. So, you know, don't take it out on them per se. But yeah, I would say I'm pretty thoughtful in all aspects of my life, not just nursing.
I think that discipline in being particular, like finding a special dessert or finding the reason to make their day better, is also a nice tie-in to just this overall mindset focus on being better. Like, right, like you want to do the one thing that makes it better for them, which is, if you translate that in, like if you're doing things that make you better, you're going to be pretty great at what you're doing across the board.
Yeah, for sure. I think going the extra mile for other people, and then going the extra mile for yourself too. It's like, how can I show up better for the people around me and for myself?
And when did you know, Natalie, what part of nursing you were going to go into?
I started off as a cancer nurse. Okay. So I was like the sickest of the sick, put me there. Like,
my God, yeah.
And of course, like cancer, everybody gets the cancer diagnosis and it's like their life is ending and it's the most terrible day of their life. So for me, I was drawn to just how can I make those people feel better? How can I serve them in a special way? And so I think that's where I gravitated towards, and I'm so glad I started there because I feel like I learned so much about, first of all, nursing, and second of all, just like humans and interacting and relationships and stuff like that. So it was cool.
Wow, that's wild. I mean, those are, you aren't kidding. That is like, yeah. You hear that word and like our skin crawls.
Right.
You know, and it takes a special person to work with them, and it takes a lot of effort. So yeah. That's awesome.
That was good.
Would you have any stories that kind of stand out with you about that? Like where you're like, you know what, this was,
yeah,
this kind of highlights.
I have a lot. Yeah, I have quite a few, and I'll only share like one of them, but I had quite a few patients that we kept in-house for like months at a time. So we really got to know them. One kid was 27 and he was dying of cancer. Spread throughout his whole body. He was in our unit for, I think it was like 6 months. Eventually passed away on our unit. And it was just almost like surreal to me that somebody my age, I was younger at the time, but somebody my age was going through this. I was like, our worlds are so completely different, but how can we relate? How can I relate to him? How can I be a human to him? Like be his nurse first, of course, but like, how can I connect with him as a human being too? So, yeah, that was special for us to all kind of be there for him and try to just make his like last days a little bit better. But yeah, it was rough. It's tough to see somebody around my age like pass away. And
it's awful.
Yeah, it was pretty rough, but again, learned a lot, and I'm grateful for like the time that I did get to have with him and learn from him and be there. So
yeah, that hits home.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have to.
Sorry for the like Debbie Downer over here, but
no,
you asked.
Yeah. On the contrary, yeah, nice. Just shell it off on me. You shared the story.
I did.
On the contrary, it gave you, like, I would imagine, this keen sense of empathy to, like, what that is like.
For
when
sure.
You say you want to basically validate the humanity of that person mm-hmm. in such a trialing time. I mean, yeah. I don't know. You're going to learn a lot very quickly.
Yeah, it is. It's all about, like, the humanity and keeping it, like, this isn't just a patient. It's a human. And I think sometimes that gets lost in translation when it comes to, like, these big corporate hospitals and the big wigs, like, they just try to pump numbers instead of focusing on like, hey, these are humans too, and we get to treat them like they are.
Yeah, it's that To Kill a Mockingbird idea of walking in another man's shoes, right? Like you don't mm-hmm. know somebody until you put yourself there.
Right.
And then when you're the same age as someone that's dying of cancer, you're going to put yourself mm-hmm. there.
For sure.
God. Yeah. How do you guys not take that home?
Oh, I did.
Okay, I don't know how you would.
I don't know. I would have a hard time separating work and home life. So ultimately that's kind of like why I left that space, that unit, was because it was just like affecting my mental health more than I was able to like give back. So that's when I knew like, hey, I need to make some changes. But yeah, I did take it home. I mean, I remember the day that he passed away, I texted my mom and I was like, I had a really rough day. I told her that he had passed away. She knew about him. And I just cried. I sat and like cried with her for like an hour after work because I was like, it's so heavy. Like, I just need to like take it off.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's hard to like not bring it home when you get so close to the people that you're taking care of.
Yeah, how could you not?
Yeah, exactly. It's
someone that you see all the time yeah. at such a bad state, and all you want is for it to get better. And in some ways, maybe that is better, but it's devastating loss.
Right, exactly.
God. And then you shifted. Where did you shift to?
I shifted to Rainbow Babies. I was in the neonatal ICU for 2 years. So very, like very hard, right? But again, the babies were so freaking cute and amazing, resilient. I learned again so much, and I worked a night shift for the first time in my life, and it was awful, but got through it. And that's ultimately why I left that position. Just couldn't do the nights anymore. But yeah, I did learn a lot there as well.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. And then, at what point does your nursing career intersect with the extra endeavors, say the Chats with Nat?
Yeah, so I didn't start Chats with Nat till last year, but I feel like I dove into like mindset and mental health years prior. I feel like I just always felt like there was like something more for my life that I wanted to do. I never just thought like, oh, I'm just gonna be a nurse and work the rest of my life. And you know, it's kind of funny, I tell people this, but like my mom and dad are always just like, well, honey, that's life. Like, you just work. And I'm like, but like, no, there's so much more to life.
Yeah.
And I want there to be more than that for me. So, and I know like they grew up with that mentality and that's just like kind of what they have passed along. Mm-hmm. But for me, I, you know, I do want to work and I want to work hard and I want to make a difference, but there's other like things that I want to create and move forward, with my life. So, you know, not being shy to do that, like just making moves to progress that forward. So
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just, I agree with you. There's something weird about saying, all right, I'm going to work until I'm 68 and then die, like, shortly thereafter.
Yeah. I know there's lots of, like, things in between, but it's like, I ultimately would love to create more, like, time and money freedom for myself. So I know that with nursing, like, I'm kind of stuck. Like, I can't have that, really.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. And so what is Chats with Nat? Tell us about it. Tell us about your vision.
Yeah. So Chats with Nat is, it's life coaching. So it's, I always say it's kind of like an umbrella of things that people need support with, need help with. A lot of it's like mental health, mindset, dating, perspective, fitness, nutrition, stuff like that. A lot of times it's just a safe place for people just to share how they're feeling, what their week has looked like, what they need support with. But I started with one client last year, and then I've grown to like 13 clients now. So it's been going great. I would love to eventually expand it into a podcast, and then also do like wellness retreats that focus on mindset, mental health. So eventually see it being like a big brand, like just brand myself basically, and have like a wellness brand. So that's where I overall see it going, and that's what I'm trying to take little steps and get there. So we'll see.
That's great growth right there from 1 to 13.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I
mean, six months in. Yeah. Just started a group coaching course too, so I'm excited about that. It's going to be like a group setting. I actually have been like a participant on a group coaching call before, and I loved it. So when I first started my coaching business, I thought I would love to recreate this in my own way and provide that for other people. So that's starting this Sunday, so I'm excited for that too.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck.
Yeah, thank you.
So when the time this airs, this will have been underway. And so I hope that you are sharing positive things about it at that
time.
I
hope so too.
That would be amazing. It was, so I would do a deep dive into the people that are coming on to the podcast. And when my brain had like an aneurysm, when I clicked the link to Chats with Nat, and it just pops up right on the thing that says Chats with Nat, I'm like, just the idea, and I told you this story, just the idea that like Chats with Clark and Chats with Nat are quite literally the exact same
thing. Yeah, so funny.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I just became enamored with it. And I love that you're kind of tying everything in. Like, I love this holistic view that you have, that like positive growth and the mindset, and then of course tied in with the physical health, which we'll touch on later, can lead to this happiness.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool.
Yeah. Natalie, how do you think that you became an expert, or maybe not, in this realm? Or to the point that you, like, what pushed you to say, you know what, I'm ready to share this? Like, how did that come to be?
Well, I will never say I'm an expert, but you have to do things before you're ready.
Okay.
I did not feel ready. I felt, like, sick to my stomach over me launching my business. Like, when I published my website to be, like, live, I was, like, shitting my pants, so freaking nervous. Like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? Like, jumping, it's like jumping off a cliff. It's like, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And
you hope that parachute works.
I know. It's carrying me so far. So far so good. But yeah, it's like, you just have to start before you're ready and just trust that you have the experience, you have some knowledge, like you have the drive and the want and desire to help others. And I think that's where I feel good about it, because I know that my genuine want to help others is at the forefront of my business. And that's able to kind of carry me through the times when I don't feel as confident in what I'm doing. I know that I'm in the right headspace to want to continue forward. So, yeah, you just have to start before you're ready and hope for the best.
Yeah, what does that tell you, right? Like, that's crazy. It tells all of us that there's certain vulnerability that comes along with starting anything. And so if you're starting before you're ready, I mean, there's innate vulnerability. You're trusting what you have at that point, and really just banking on the vision and your work ethic, your authenticity, your desire to move people's lives forward, including your own.
That's
wild.
It's
all
scary.
Growth comes through it, right?
Like, I know.
All growth comes through that vulnerability.
And I was like, you know what? I have nothing to really lose here. Like, I have just a ton to gain. I mean, I put some money towards creating my website and getting that up and running, and I did took a 6-month like health coaching course online last year. But besides that, it's like, what, like, the risk didn't outweigh the benefit. So I was just like, it's just, I'll figure it out as I go. I'll get stronger as I go. I'll get more confident as I go. So you don't grow. I feel like I heard this on a podcast once. I can't remember which one. I listened to so many. But you don't grow confidence by, like, just thinking that you're going to do it. You grow confidence by doing it and showing yourself that you can, even though it's hard.
That's awesome. That was on Chats with Clark.
Was it?
No, I'm just kidding.
I was messing with you. I was like, did I? Did I hear you?
That's beautiful. Yeah, the only way that we learn anything and like become quote unquote these experts is by putting ourselves out there and actually experiencing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I always like think back to when I was driving. I remember the first time I drove with my license. I was driving to the mall. I had to go pick up a basketball. Like, seamless, easy task. And I'm in the car, and my foot was on the brake. Nothing bad really happens, but my foot was on the brake, so I thought, but I wasn't like pushing it down enough. I'm like, I'm moving. You know, I'm like barely crawling forward.
Yeah.
It was my first time driving. I like slammed the brake then, you know, it's like, oh my God, like you don't learn anything until you're actually out there doing anything.
Yeah, that's such a good analogy, I feel like, is learning because you take all those classes and you study and you, you know, take all of your, what are they called? Like you drive with the, mm-hmm. with the director or whatever.
The in-car, yeah.
Yeah, the in-cars. And sorry, it's been a long time. I'm old, you know, I'm old, but I feel like that's a good analogy. You set yourself up and you try and you don't really know how you're going to do until you actually just do it. Like you, then you're all alone and you're doing it.
Yeah.
So you figure it out as you go.
You figure it out as you
yeah.
go. Yeah.
And just hope you don't crash.
So we know your story of the latitude, keep the analogy going. Your license is when you started the business, you launched the site. Mm-hmm. And then of course the driving part, like actually like slamming on the brake, hitting the gas, doing the whole thing is you now doing it with your 13 clients, with the vision, with the aspects of it that are currently existing. Do you have any specific stories that you can align from maybe the time when you were in training, when you were in the in-cars, when you were formulating what is going to be now your business?
Yeah, I feel like I didn't think I was actually ever going to be a coach.
Okay.
So it's kind of funny. Like when I took the coaching course, I was like, you know, I eventually want to start a podcast. This podcast was at the forefront of my mind.
Got it.
So I was like, I want to be able to like learn some of the background behind, like what is a health coach? It's, you know, I wanted to learn different avenues in which I could have different, you know, podcast guests on or different conversations and add value in certain ways. So I was like, how can I add value? I'm going to take this course, learn a bunch of things. And then I never thought that I don't think I'm ever going to coach people. Like I'm not good enough for that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's not something I ever saw for myself until it was a couple months after I had finished my program. And I was like, you know what? I think I can't. I think I'm going to try it. I think, I have been present on social media it's been a few years now that I've like really kind of come into my own with like content creation, like adding value to my followers. And so I feel like that mixed with like the confidence that comes from getting like good feedback from the people that follow you. I had people saying like, you know, you should start a podcast or, you know, just like sending well wishes and like kudos and stuff like that. So I was like, you know, maybe I can make a difference in this way. Maybe I would add value if I were to be a coach. Like, you know, I think your experiences help you so, like, there's only so much you can learn, like, in a program or in school. I think your experiences help to create so many different mindsets that will then help you help others. So, you know, I took that as a sign, like, okay, I'm gonna go for it. Why not? Like, I had nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So, here we are, you know, 13 clients later.
My God, to help you help others. That's spot on.
Yeah.
I feel like that's everyone who does this kind of work's goal, right? Someone who's like a nurse, like you're in school, and I'm sure, like my sister's studying to be a nurse, like we've talked, and just those classes are tough.
Yeah.
Like, you guys have to study, and
just
the rigor is through the roof. But you know that end goal, right? Like it's gonna allow you to help help others.
Yeah.
And that's, any work that's doing that is good work.
Yeah, I agree.
How did you strike me as confident? So how did you get to that point? How did you get to the point to say, you know what, I'm ready, and like I can do this, and I believe in my skills, and now roll with it? Because sometimes, I mean, I'm as is any human. Like we're all gonna go through days where, the confidence isn't there, right? You're like, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah.
But all in all, like you get on the horse and you do it.
I feel like it's come from seeing some success.
Okay.
I think jumping before you're ready, like you just have to start when you're not ready. But as you get more feedback from the people that you're actually truly helping, that fuels that desire and the want and the parachute per se, like to open up and to say like, I got this and I'm actually making a difference. So for me, it's just knowing that I'm creating something and, you know, working towards something that's helping other people. And for me, that's where the confidence comes in. It's like I'm doing what I said that I wanted to do, and yeah. that's just help people. So I feel like when I get feedback or something resonates with somebody, I can see it land, like something I say lands with somebody, or you know, they make a change and they come back on a next call and they're like, oh my gosh, like my last week was so good. I did X, Y, Z, like we talked about. It's like those, in those moments, I'm like, wow, this is actually working. Like,
yeah.
you know, and
it's almost like you're a nurse for life, you know, like a life nurse.
Yeah, life nurse.
Yeah.
I wish that was an actual job. We create that.
You're doing it. You're doing it right now. You're a life coach. Life coach. Why do we call it a coach? Like you're a life nurse in a way.
Because
like you're attesting to people and developing the relationship.
Yeah.
And
I mean, mental health is a part of health too, so
yeah,
in a way,
yeah, right, like you, like the physical, the mental,
mm-hmm.
all of it,
mm-hmm.
and if you're helping people to better their lives, to get better, like you strike me as a nurse. You're a nurse. That's really wild. Speaking of the like kind of the mental health aspect of it, did you ever find that in your life the struggles that you had felt at any given point influenced that, like maybe on the come up, did you have mental health situations that were really difficult, and then when you got better or felt better, or however you want to phrase
mm-hmm.
that appropriately, felt the success is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Influence this.
So for sure. I think, I know you and I were talking before this, but I had a really rough breakup like 5 years ago now, called off a wedding. I was with him for 10 years. So his high school sweetheart, I called off the wedding. And
sweetheart's kind of a curious term if you're calling off the wedding. But
yes, yes, correct. But at the time, but yeah, that kind of jump-started my mental health journey, my healing journey of like finding my way back to myself. So I think I lost who I was in that relationship, or I didn't really discover who I was because I never really had the chance to do so. So I think that fueled my passion for, you know, learning about relationships and dating and dynamics and that. And then mental health, I was like super depressed and anxious after I called off the wedding. I mean, it's like losing somebody, and I like I'm this not like downplaying death at all, but I feel like you essentially lose somebody, like a death, and you have to grieve that loss. So I not only grieved him and him as a person, but I also I had to grieve like the life that I had planned with this
right.
person. And like the me that I was with him. So a lot of grieving, a lot of, you know, depression, anxiety, and different mental health struggles that I felt back then, I had to really like dive in and then move forward. So I feel like that's kind of what jump-started everything. And I've been healing ever since. I think it's an ongoing journey. I always say like healing and grief has no timeline. It's like so linear. Good days and bad days still. I wouldn't say bad days, but I have learning days still, healing days still, but yeah, it's all a process.
It's a great growth mindset there. You just exhibited it. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Like to say like it's a learning day.
It's a learning day.
Any day, right? Like
it's a healing day. Yeah.
A friend who had a surgery, and he was like, you know, like the day I go walking into there is the first day of my recovery before the procedure even. I'm like, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, it's the first day in recovery. Anyway, again, all these nursing
I know, right? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So that relationship took up, I mean, the vast majority of your life,
right?
Quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have developed that, you really have experienced all of the aspects of a relationship
mm-hmm.
from start to pretty much finish when you ended it. And I have to make a quick note. I think it's a great analogy with the death, and like you're not downplaying it at all, because something with death is like the person's totally gone.
Yeah.
I mean, not to be
removed
totally
from your life.
They're gone.
Yeah.
There's this weird thing with breakups where the other person's still out there.
It almost makes it harder, doesn't it?
It makes it harder.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, as with anyone that you lose a relationship with, you're like, what's this person doing? And you're like, innately, because that is the part of that healing process, that grieving
yeah.
process,
yep.
is that they're still out there doing them, and you're not doing it together
mm-hmm.
at all.
Yeah, exactly. That's like a large part of letting go, is like knowing that they're still out there, and it's almost like detaching from
mm-hmm.
that and just letting that go. It's hard. It's hard knowing, like, they're still out there, but I don't know what they're doing. I don't know who they're with. I mean, after
yeah.
you're with somebody for as long as I was, it was very hard to detach.
And to tie it all back, the 10-year span that you were together, like I said, you really experienced everything. So do you think now that is what's influenced you the most to get into even, say, the relationship advice? Because we haven't really
yeah.
touched on that yet.
Yeah,
that's
100%.
That's a big part of your content.
Yeah, big part of my content. Yeah, I feel like that has been because I learned so much
mm-hmm.
about relationships from my healing. I feel like that's what has been like set the stage for for my business and for my content and how I relate to people. So yeah, it's a big reason why and who, like, who I am today. So
what's the biggest lesson you've taken away from the whole thing? Just lay it out there.
So I always have the saying that everything is working out for us. Even when it feels like it's not, it is. So for me, like, during that time when I called off the wedding, I was like, this is horrible. Like, my life's ending. This, everything sucks. Like, this is terrible. Everything's not working out. And in those moments, I wish I could go back and tell myself, like, this feels like it's not working out, but because it's not working out, like, something else is working itself out for you. Like, wow. The not working out is part of things working out for us. So that's a big saying that I, you know, I base my business off of, because it's such a core belief in my mind and a core lesson that I've learned.
That provides some peace.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when you believe that, you know what, I might not understand this now, but give it a little bit of time and I'm going to see how this influences.
Exactly.
How this helps me start a business that I want to do for the rest of my life. Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. But yeah, it kind of ties in, like, the saying, like, everything happens for a reason. It's kind of like along the same lines.
Yeah. But everything happens for a reason is so cliche. And it's just like, well, okay, well, great. Well, I want to know.
Yeah, but, like, what is the reason?
Yeah. So. And if you have it in this progressing idea, then it's like, okay, I can dive into that because I'm part of the process, right? Like, trust that process, to use another cliche term.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about the comparison between what would happen if you didn't call off the wedding, that life, and now the life that you have embarking upon? Have you ever thought about that?
I've definitely thought about that. I feel like that was a part of my letting go process, is I had to let go of that life that I had planned. So, you know, I'm 30 years old. I thought I'd be married with kids by now. So I feel like I had to grieve that life too. It's like, I don't have kids. I am single. Like, I had to grieve what I thought life was going to look like. Yeah. So that's where I'm at with that. But again, didn't work out because something else was working out.
Yeah. How cool. Yeah. To the 18-year-olds that might be listening, that's like 30s, like, not like everyone thinks. I feel like 30s that number where people are like, oh, I'm going to be married and have kids. I don't know why. I feel like that's the one you always hear. It's like, I'm going to be married and have kids by 30.
Such a stigma. Right. I know.
It's stigma. It's so true.
I say it about myself now because I'm 30.
But I feel like that's, I don't know, that's so relatable, though. Like, to have a story from someone who's done it all. You've had it. Like,
yeah.
And to be here now.
Yeah.
It's so tangible.
Yeah.
Natalie, what do you think people should do to create habits that will make healthy relationships in a romantic way in their life?
So one of my biggest pieces of dating advice is to write down everything that you want in a partner and why. So, you know, I like to connect the why to the quality, because that's like creating the feeling behind the quality. So
nice.
For me, like, communication is huge, because I want to feel heard. I want to feel like what I'm saying is being valued and considered. So for me, like, so you have to be, like, you have to be those things. So write down everything that you want in a partner and then go be it.
So good.
So you can't expect somebody to be something that you're not also being. It's just not fair. It's setting the relationship up to fail.
Totally. Right. Totally. Yeah. It's this double-edged sword. Like, you don't, this double standard is insane. If you want this and you're not giving it, then how is that ever going to
happen? How can you expect it? Right?
No, and you're never going to receive it either, because then the person's going to feel like, okay, so I listen to you all the time. I try and make you feel heard. And then you don't let me, you don't give me the time of day.
You don't make me feel heard, or you don't value communication like I do. So yeah, it's like, write down all those qualities that you're wanting in a partner and then go be it.
And on the flip side, do you think, what would be like your biggest, like, heed this warning kind of thing, as in, like, what would be the biggest mistake if you're doing this, then you are inhibiting your relationships?
I would say having self-awareness is huge. I think people lack it, and so when they don't have it, it's harder for them to connect, and it's harder for, like, people to bring their true selves to the relationship.
Okay.
I think lack of self-awareness, you have to have self-awareness in order to progress a relationship. And nobody's perfect. We have to know, like, where we get to get better and where we get to grow, and, you know, change. And I think if you're not willing to have self-awareness in order to, like, then go and move forward and change and actually do those things, then, again, you're just setting the relationship up to fail. Mm-hmm. So not having self-awareness and not being willing to grow together.
Yeah.
And separately. But
we are living in a society that is not self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few people who are reflective and are self-aware, because a lot of people don't think they have anything wrong with them.
Yeah, I know.
Which is wild, because if you're a human, it's innate.
Not perfect.
Yeah, it's going to happen, yeah. And we all have things that we do, and maybe habits that we fall into that aren't beneficial for us and the people that are around us, but that, again, if you know that, you can take the actions to make that less of an occurrence, or at least far less grave than it would be if you weren't self-aware.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a lot of us are conditioned from a young age to believe certain things and to think certain ways. And so I think if we don't have the self-awareness of where are those things not serving us, like, and I can make a choice to change that. Like, I don't have to continue on believing this belief that I believe forever. Like, I can challenge it. I can change it. Even though my parents might have told me one thing, like, I don't have to carry it forward.
Sure.
So I think, yeah, being able to challenge ourselves and our beliefs is something to definitely be aware of.
What role do you think that all this social media stuff plays in relationships? Because that is the biggest thing, obviously, that's different between our generation and the relationships that we have and, say, our parents.
I think it's all in the way that you use it. I think it's in the intention behind why you're using it. So for me, it's a way for me to, one, express myself, and two, connect with other people. So I think people use social media in different ways, of course, but it's all the intention behind it. So there's a lot of, you know, toxic behavior on social media, but I think for the most part, we can use it as a tool to really connect with others and just have deeper meaning for ourselves. My parents don't understand the social media age. I don't know how your parents feel about it, but my mom's like, they're always posting this and not always posting that. I'm like, little do you know, mom, like, because my mom doesn't have social media, but she's like, I'm like, little do you know, mom, I post my whole life on social media, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just a different time.
God love my mom. She's always on it. Not always on it. That sounds awful. She's on all of it, and she's...
Joe's mom, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it.
She will. She will. She's going to listen. That's what I mean. She always watches everything, and God love her. Number one consumer of my content.
Oh, which, number one fan. Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate and need, because mom gives honest feedback too, so...
She does. They do.
So we need that. But regardless, the technology seems like... I think people... I don't know how to phrase this properly. But I think technology stems into the reason that so many people have ridiculous trust issues. Ridiculous. Through the roof,
for sure.
Insecurity, trust issues, all that blanket of things. But I think also it's the biggest tool used to make those things happen in the first place.
Yeah, I agree. So I think it's a way for people to connect, but it's also a way for people to disconnect. I think there's so many options at our fingertip. I talk about this in dating all the time, but like, there's so many options at our fingertips, like between dating apps, social media, like for us to just go through and see thousands of people and have access to like so much more. Like, our parents didn't have that. So, you know, whoever was in front of them is who they focused on. Whereas us, I feel like we can have somebody in front of us and be focusing on five other people that we're, you know, connecting with online.
Yeah.
So it's just a different dynamic.
What do you think about like all the talking stages? Love to hear your thoughts on all this. What do you think is like the dating process?
Oh, it's so interesting. I feel like dating culture is a little screwy right now, and I don't want to say that, because I think like it all is what you make it. And so it's funny, like talking stage / dating / situationship then relationship, it's like, oh my God, I don't even know. I'm like, I think the biggest thing is just to go back to the basics of what makes a relationship special, and it's communication and honesty and respect. And so if you don't have those, then like, you're building on a foundation of nothing, and or like scamming each other and like playing games. Like, I don't understand that part of it. So I just think those are the three basics, like, basis of a foundational relationship. So I don't know, the talking stage, and call it whatever you want.
Sure,
but
right, exactly.
There needs to be some kind of, for that to progress and be a healthy relationship, it needs to have communication, respect, and and honesty.
How long does that take, would you say? How long does having that be fluid take?
Like, to create that for yourself?
With someone,
I think right off the bat.
Okay.
So yeah, I think like, you start with that. You start with, and I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday. I was talking to one of my friends. It's what you start a relationship like using is what you're going to have to continue to use to keep that person hooked or into you. It's like, so if you are playing games and playing hard to get and like not texting a bunch and like trying to be cool, like you're going to have to maintain that in order to keep that person into you. But if you start a relationship being super honest and being vulnerable and communicating, like that's what will continue to move the relationship forward.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think a lot of people get hooked in like, you got to play the game. Yeah. You got to play cards. And there's so many different theories on it. I tend to be with you, right? Like I'm going to put myself out there.
Yeah. And whoever's meant to connect with me will. But
yeah, right. Like, play games. You don't want to, it's the same idea that we were talking earlier of like, you're going to attract the people that are supposed to be around you.
Yeah.
Because of the people that, because of the energy that you put out, the energy that they put out. And when it's a front can only be kept up for so long.
Exactly.
And eventually that wall comes down and you're like, well, this is totally
like,
different.
Yeah, like, you know? You're not the same person that you were. Well, it's because they were being a completely different person. Like, they had a mask on the whole time that you guys were talking. And now that you guys are dating, it's like the mask is off and who are you? I don't even know who I'm dating.
Yeah. So. Right. It's like the Amigos song. the other thing I was thinking about, too, with the whole thing is kind of like, people don't do stuff. And what I mean is like, people don't like go on dates and like actively date. Maybe that's a better way to phrase the whole thing. Like, people don't actively date. I think like, you have it right, like you talk and then like if you win the game, okay, you get to date now, and then it's just, that's it. You're like dating and there's a label and you're dating the person and you don't do anything to keep dating them. Like, you were just saying 30 seconds ago, you got to keep them hooked, you know, and you got to keep up what you're doing and keep them hooked. That's like dating. That's the whole point. And I think, so I always contend to people, like, when I've talked to different people that are like, you know, I kind of feel like I'm flattening out my relationship. I'm like, well, have you guys gone and done something different ever?
Yes.
Like, go and do something different with someone.
Yeah.
And you are going to see a different side of them, a different perspective that they have on whatever that thing is that you're doing, which is going to unveil a new truth to you about them.
Yeah, 100%. I think I listened to a Jay Shetty podcast. He did it with his wife.
So good.
Did you listen? They talked about how people think that connecting and going on dates or, you know, spending time together is like Netflixing or watching a show, which is great sometimes, but like for you to like really truly connect and see your person and be present and learn and grow together, like you have to do something together. Mm-hmm. Like, do something that's going to either challenge you or excite you, get out of the comfort zone of just watching TV or watching a movie, cook dinner together, try a new recipe, like go to, I know Jay was talking about doing like a one of those ropes courses, like just something that challenges you and is exciting, because you can't connect with somebody like, and he described it as like when you're looking at the TV, you're looking at the TV, you're not looking at each other. So it's like, how can you get into an activity that like you face each other and you truly like see each other and be present?
I think it's so spot on. It is so important. And it is the most underwhelming part of relationships now.
And I think people stop dating each other. They're just like, stop vetting each other. They stop like putting in an effort when they quote unquote get them. It's like, no, you have to like continue growing the relationship and keep adding value and adding effort into each other, because that's the whole point of being together.
What do you think about a break? That's another big buzz. What do you think about people like taking breaks? It's the classic, we're going to go on a break for
I guess it would be like the intention behind it, like why are you taking a break? But I think that there's a way for you to take a break without breaking up.
Sure.
I think that you can, again, be honest and communicate how you feel and, you know, say I need some space to figure out XYZ. It's nothing that you're doing wrong. I want to be with you still. It's just I need to figure out some stuff, and then, you know, we can chat about it. It's like the intention behind it. Yeah, we can chat about it. I feel like, I don't necessarily think you need to break up in order to have like that break from each other. But I don't know. That's just my view. It could be totally differing opinion. But yeah, I think if that's something people think that they need to do, do it, because you know your relationship best. But yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. What do you think?
I think all the rules are different, right? I think I'm with you. I tend to think that if you don't have a clear expectation for what the break is going to, a clear goal for what the break is designed for, then it's going to be aimless. And obviously, and that apparent idea is not often facilitated well. Like, if you don't have a goal, if you don't have like a, hey, I need, and I think it should be a defined amount of time. Not that you're going to know, but I think otherwise it's so ambiguous, right? Like, I think both people, and I think you and I both have probably heard stories like, we're on a break and it's like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's such an unnerving feeling.
Sure.
To be in a relationship but not. I think, like, it goes back to, like, just having that conversation, saying, I need just, like, this weekend to just really connect to myself. It's all in the way that you phrase it. It's all in the way that you communicate it. And just being honest. And being respectful of your partner and allowing them to, like, have a reaction if they have one. But, like, it's almost like reassuring them that it's not them. But, you know, if it is them, then that's enough. Like, there's other relationship issues then, clearly.
Spot on. Yeah, spot on.
So it's like you guys got to dive into that then and figure out what's going on, that you need a break from them.
So you're a business person. And
Ish.
Yeah, and I'm a business person-ish. And I think a lot of times I try to look at relationships and mostly everything. Everything is a transaction, right? Like, everything's a business transaction, if you shall. Social media is what you're putting out and what you're getting back. And if those don't add value somewhere along the line, then it's probably not worth it, right? So, like, what you're doing, you get the feedback coming back to you, and what you're putting out there is your authentic self. You get to express yourself. Great. A lot of times people have a negative relationship with something in the transaction.
Yeah.
It's like what they're getting out is either insufficient or what they're getting back is insufficient.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of supply and demand-ish in a way. Now, in a relationship, like a romantic relationship, I think a lot of times people don't recognize that sometimes the transaction just isn't worth it anymore. And it has nothing to do with the love that binds the whole thing.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know what? Like, maybe your situation would be spot on with this. Because I'm sure when you said, you know, I'm calling off the marriage, as in you were ready to settle down with this guy forever.
Yeah.
There was still love there. There was still love and admiration.
Yeah, still is.
Total awe for this person. Mm-hmm. But you knew that the transaction, what either you were giving or they were giving, which I think we can all assume at this point, wasn't going to suffice for where you wanted this what this transaction did in your life.
Yeah. I feel like I got to a point where I wanted a deeper love and I wanted somebody to grow with me in that way. And I don't feel like it was met with reciprocated want. Or even like, and I can't even blame him because I don't think he had the awareness. Like, I don't think he had the capability, and maybe down the line he would have if we would have like gone to therapy or got help or whatever. But I just feel there was a breakdown from that point. And, you know, I do think on some level relationships are transactional, but I also understand that sometimes like that transaction is not going to be equal. So, you know, it's not always going to be 50-50.
Absolutely.
It's going to be, you know, I'm having a really rough freaking week. It's going to be 30-70. You're going to have to like pull some weight for me. But, you know, at the end of the day, both people do need to be getting some kind of value from the relationship.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
It's not going to be super valuable all the time, and it's not going to be, you know, rainbows and butterflies all the time, but you need somebody who's going to do that work with you and do the give and take with you and be your 70 when you're 30. So, I think it's transactional to a point, and then also an awareness and a capability thing. So I feel like that's what I was that's what I had that my partner was lacking.
I have one final question about relationships. Okay. Now that I've like drilled you with a thousand questions about it.
I love talking about that, so I just
clearly, I hope so, because if not, we're in trouble again. I've mentioned it a couple times, but I think just as a quick aside here, Natalie Bell is really authentic and has this actual, like, she actually put herself out there. It's not like this front, and I think a lot of times what you get is like a version of somebody on social media, right? Like a perfected version. So kudos to you on that.
Thank
so
you.
Turns out she does love talking about relationships, in case you were curious. My last question is, what part of relationships in present day, either for you personally or just in general, absolutely grinds your gears? What is it that drives you up a wall that you see happening or have experienced? Or
I think it's the game stuff. And I think it's the everybody thinks that they have options and everybody's looking for the next best thing instead of nurturing what's in front of them. Like, once you, for me, it's like, once I establish that I have a connection with somebody, I really am not interested in exploring other options, because I want to give that person who I'm connecting with, like, all that I can to see if the relationship, like, can really progress. Because if I'm giving, 100% of myself to somebody, then they get the full expression of who I am and they get my full effort. If the connection is established, mm-hmm. like we like each other, like, okay. But if you're talking to five different people, giving 20% of yourself to five different people, it's like, how are you really going to know if those relationships are worth exploring or not?
So good. Yeah.
So, my view is just don't play games. And like, if yeah, you have options. And then once you establish a connection, then that you want to explore, like explore it with that person, because you both like, you deserve it. And it's a respect thing too. I think it's, you know, you have to respect somebody in order to like really try to give them who you are, I think, genuinely.
Ultimately, I think when people are doing that, there's no respect in general, like for any of the people.
I think lack of respect is a big reason why dating is the way that it is right now. I think mm-hmm. we forget that there's another human that we're interacting with, you know. The whole idea of ghosting is another thing that really grinds my gears. It's so simple to just communicate how you feel. If it's not working, I would rather know how you feel than just you never talk to me again. Mm-hmm. Just like communicate like an adult.
Yeah, like, and be respectful. Ambiguity, right? Like just like we were talking about with the breaks, like you get stuck in a ghost and you're sitting there, you're under the ambiguous spell again, where you don't know what's happening.
Like, what's going on? Am I going to hear from this person? What did I do? It's like, you know, we could eliminate that by just having a respectful conversation. I know it's like so uncomfortable sometimes, but you deserve that, and the other person deserves that.
Yeah, and if you're honest to God, there's no better time. Like, if you are someone who is like afraid of that confrontation or any conflict whatsoever, send a text. Who cares?
I know.
I mean, that's better than nothing. Again, you know, if you're gonna go the ghosting route, like send a text.
Exactly. Send a text. Hey, I'm not really feeling how I need to feel in order to move forward. Like, it was great getting to know you. I think you're awesome, but it's just not gonna work. Like, good luck. But I'm a big voice message person.
Oh. Yeah.
I voice message all the time. I've gone out with a few people in the past and just didn't feel it. So I actually voice messaged them just so they could hear it in my voice instead of just like sending a text.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it connects the human. It's like the humanness. Like,
yes.
Like it's nothing against you. It's like I'm not feeling how I need to feel in order to move forward. And then they get to feel like my voice, like to hear my voice, as opposed to just like, hey, it's not working out, like see ya, you know. It's more personal. It's
so much more personal, and you can make your points a lot clearer too.
Yeah,
like you can just let your mind go,
and you maintain the respect. I think I never want anybody who's had that I've gone out with or connected with to ever look back on our time together and have like super negative things to say about me and how things ended. I want to always maintain a level of respect, and so I think that's important.
Yeah. Okay. I thought that was my last question. I have
perfect.
One more. But with that being said, now that you've opened the doors to it, how is it now to go out with other people? Like, is that hard? It has to be hard.
It was for a while, I will say. The first couple of years after my breakup, I feel like I was cheating on him every time I went out with a new guy. I was like, I can't do this. Like, because when you're with somebody for 10 years, I mean, you get used to somebody for 10 years. So it felt really wrong for a long time. But the more work that I did on myself, my mindset, and more I learned about me, like the better I felt. So now I don't have that as much. It is still like dating is weird in general, because you're like getting to know a stranger, but it's also so exciting. So it's all in your viewpoint. Like if you view it as a task, if you view it as annoying, like it's going to be annoying. If you view it as exciting and a chance to connect to somebody, like that's what it'll be.
It's always going to be weird. Yeah. And I don't think weird is negative. Weirdly exciting is a good thing.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm not really an awkward person. Like, I will talk to the wall, but I feel like it's not an so awkward for me, because I'm a conversationalist at baseline. So
no, I get that. I totally get that. Yeah. Okay. I think I was going to throw this in there too. The thing that aggravates me, to go back to it, I think the thing that aggravates me is just like what you're saying too. It's like just the games kind of thing. Or when people just like stay habitual. Again, it goes back to like the not dating each other while dating thing. It's the continuously falling into like awful habits.
Yep.
Like personally, or other people. I hate seeing it in other people too, right? Like it's this idea of wasted potential, right? This limited potential, even in the relationship or personally. Like you have the world around you.
Yeah.
And that is so many opportunities, and that's so many capable things that could happen to you.
Yes.
And you decide to stay in this average cycle.
Yes.
That is awful.
Yeah, and I think people stop learning about each other too. Like, once you quote unquote start dating or together, it's like you think that you know everything about somebody, and mm-hmm. you stop asking the questions. Like, you still get to explore that person. You still get to be curious. We're ever changing. So getting to know your person more and more and more, deeper levels. So it's like knowing which questions to ask and being curious about each other. I think mm-hmm. that's what makes the relationship blossom. But I don't think people think that way. I think they just get lazy and habitual, like you said. So
yeah, lazy. That's a good one. Asking questions, that's my biggest thing too. Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
No one asks questions. Yeah. But that's I could sit here and
Joe asks questions. You've been asking me questions for like 2 hours. Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah. All right. And on that note, we're done.
And I don't cut. Yeah. I would sit here and talk all day. So
we basically are. So I'm glad. Otherwise, we'd have a big issue. Natalie Bell, to have all these relationship talks and content that you put out there, you have chats with Nat where you lump it all into life coaching. And I think the last piece of the component, again, like if I have it jotted down here, you have three areas of focus, four chats with Nat, right? You have the mental health, talked about it, the positive mindset, talked about it. The last part is this physical health.
Uh-huh.
How did you become aware? How did you get to a point where you're like, you know what, I feel great physically, right? Like, I'm in good physical health, I can take care of myself, and it's important.
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
So I was an athlete my whole life, so I always kind of valued my physical health. I played soccer and lacrosse, and I knew that it was an important part of my life, just movement in general. I think I really took accountability and responsibility for it, though, post-college. I played lacrosse in college, and then after college, I really got to, like, see and figure out what movement looked like for me outside of sports. So finding a routine, figuring out what kind of workouts I like to do, what kind of movement. It was a lot of like trial and error, a lot of inconsistencies throughout like the past however many years. But I think my physical health became like the best it's ever been when I focused on my mental health. When I was doing the movement, when I was lifting to make myself feel better as opposed to look better, I think that's when my body really started to change.
Yeah.
When when you prioritize your mental health, physical health is a part of our mental health. So when I focus more on my mental health, that's when my physical health got to be the best.
Yeah. God, there was a TikTok I just saw this past week, actually. I got to tell you about it. Like, and it just went down this litany. It was like, are you pissed off? And it was like, yes, go to the gym. And it was like, are you sad? Yes, go to the gym. And it was like, da-da-da-da. And it just like kept telling you, and it was like, oh my god, like, it just hit me because it was so freaking obvious that they're so intertwined.
So intertwined. And of course, like, going to the gym is going to cure all your problems, but it will make you feel better about your problems, and like, you can handle them more. Like, there's just, it's just so much proven research that movement just is medicine. So it's just such an important part of my life now.
That's awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did you ever consider like doing any training on that as part of your life coach?
I definitely have. I feel like that's something I would have to figure out how to move forward in that mm-hmm. regard. Right now, focusing more on the mental health side of things, but of course we know like the physical health goes hand in hand. So I definitely have clients who come to me with concerns about their fitness and nutrition that we talk through. By no means am I like certified or like, you know,
I get you.
Have any kind of like expertise, but because of my experience, because of some of my training that I did with my health coaching program, that I have some knowledge about it. So I'm able to like kind of offer some tools and different things for my clients to do.
What do you encourage? Like, what's,
I have one client who, all
the free version, by the way, don't give up your,
I know,
I'll give
all the secrets. Yeah, now. It's okay. It's all good. He started really, he was doing the Peloton and walking, and he wanted to lift and get in the gym and feel like stronger in his body. He lost like a bunch of weight during COVID, and he wanted to feel like stronger. So we talked about kind of like what that would look like, what his routine could look like, how like what are the action steps that are going to get you there? Because we can talk about it all day, but like, what are you actually going to do about it? So we put into play like different things, and the accountability, I feel like, of life coaching calls is what makes a difference for a lot of people, is having somebody that they get to talk to once a week or once every 2 weeks that is going to say, like, oh, how are things going? And you actually have to answer. Like, yeah. You know.
I didn't do anything. Like, stop calling me.
I didn't do anything of any of the things that you told me to do, Natalie. But, you know, here we are. But which is fine, too. But, you know, if people really want to make lasting change, I think it helps to have somebody hold them accountable. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm ever like, oh my gosh, you didn't do this, like, you're a horrible client. No, it's like, I am just here to remind you of what you said that you wanted and figure out ways that we can pivot then. If that approach didn't work, okay, let's try something else. So I think having the accountability partner makes all the difference too.
Spot on. There's a lot of truth in the whys, right? Like, you and I were talking a little bit, and I think just the mindsets of, again, like, why didn't it work out? And then if you can dissect that, then it's like, okay, maybe there's a deeper underlying issue, or maybe there's this thing, there are things that are interfering in our lives, and it's like, if we address those, it's the idea of, like, getting yourself straight first, and then you can go and get the rest of it done, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree.
Very good, very good. If someone were feeling, per se, really great physically, but the mental health weren't there, how would you address that?
I would say, like, get to try to figure out the reason why.
Yeah.
There's so many different things that contribute to our mental health, but other things like sleep, stress, work, family, relationships, so many other things that it could be. So talking about that, I think talking about what's going on in our lives in a safe place with somebody who won't judge us, I feel like could solve a lot of our problems. I think mental health still has such a stigma, and especially for men, and I believe it or not, like, more than half of my clients are men, and I think they are drawn to having a safe place for them to really just share their feelings.
That's spot on. Women tend to be more gentle than men are. I'm just going to put it like
it's just in our DNA.
Women are more gentle than men. So that doesn't really surprise me, is my point.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. I used to, like, when I first started, I was like, this is, like, really weird. Like, I'm attracting a bunch of, like, male clients. But then my one client, like, we were talking about it, and he was like, I think that the way that you present yourself so genuinely on social media is attractive to a man who wants to better himself and have a place, like, a safe place to share. And I also make my content pretty gender neutral, which I think is important, because I'm not just talking to women. I'm a girl's girl for sure, but I also really care about men and their mental health as well. So I think I try to keep my content pretty neutral and connect to men in that way too.
Yeah, that's great. So I had this story I wanted to share with it too. I feel like this whole thing, it's a lot of marketing, right? And the accountability is marketing, the way you put yourself out there on social media is marketing. And so Netflix is really good at marketing, in my opinion, a lot of times. I don't have Netflix. I get Netflix when it's Christmas break and I have time, because I teach in Christmas break. And I'll probably get it, like, for one other time. Like, I don't watch anything, so except for, like, movies, again, over Christmas break at the end of the night kind of thing, or if I'm doing some work on my computer, it's like, I'll throw on a movie, too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, point being, when I cancel that subscription, I hear from them more than I hear from my family.
Netflix when are you coming back?
Yes, peppering my inbox. It's like, well, did you know you could do this plan and save X amount? I'm like, well, that's not why I canceled. And they just try and eliminate any possible excuse. And they're like, you know, we can make it in two easy steps. It's like, it's incredible marketing.
Yes.
And I think that's what we all aim to be when we're putting ourselves out there. Like, that's what you are trying to do when you put yourself out there as a life coach. You're like, you know what? I can eliminate all your excuses, basically, right? Like, come to me. It's two easy steps. We're going to do, I think it's a 30-minute interview, right? Like, and then your 30-minute call. We're going to see if, like, our coaching is going to be successful together. That marketing to me just blows my mind. I think it's really successful. And that's that accountability partner. It's like, oh my God, Netflix, get out of my inbox. It's like, oh my God, Natalie Bell is going to be talking to me. Like, I better hit the gym.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to, you know, I said I was going to do this, and okay, I didn't do it, but I still get to have a conversation about why I didn't do it, or how we can, you know, move forward in a different way. But.
And I'm sorry, I kind of tangented you too. I want to take you back to the point I asked when I asked about the mental health and the physical. I guess one of the underlying things I'm curious about is, can you, I don't like the word fix, but can you address both at the same time?
Yeah. I think so. I think they go hand in hand. So I think there's multiple things. I mean, my sessions are usually an hour long calls. So between the start and finish, like, we talk about all kinds of things throughout the call. So usually there's a few main focus points, and then try to figure out some kind of action plan for the week forward, or you know, the 2 weeks in between calls, just to have some kind of check-in process. Like, hey, we talked about this last call. How's that going?
Nice.
Something like that.
That's great. Natalie, we've covered a lot. And one of the things I just want a quick synopsis on, because I don't like to beat a dead horse, but amongst a lot of people that are having success, there's content creation.
Yeah.
In your case, we've talked about it a couple times. It's important, but we haven't really addressed it. What is your piece of advice to people regarding content creation who are trying to build a brand, build a business, build themselves?
I think put your personality into it. Like be yourself, and your people will find you. I feel like when you are in your humanness and being like your quirky self, or like sharing different parts of yourself, I think that's when people get attracted to what you are offering. I think the just the mask of like perfection, like you feel like things have to look like so perfect, or you have to sound so perfect in order to post something. Like, I've been through that myself, but I think the best my content does is when I'm just like spur of the moment sharing something.
Yeah.
In my workout clothes, like I'm literally straight from the gym. Like, do I want to be like, okay, I would rather get myself ready, but like, I'm like, you know what, whatever. Like, this is what I'm, this is me. So
yeah.
I think people connect to the imperfections of others. So
that's awesome.
I think just like show your personality and be who you are.
Yeah. People connect to the imperfections of others. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That should go on the site. I'm not telling you what to do, but that should go on the site. My God, that's good. Okay, and so do you think that people should make content? Like, generally speaking, do you think everyone should make content?
Yeah, I think it's a really, like, forefront way, like, right now, at least in the world, a way for you to market your business. It's free marketing for your business.
Yeah.
And, like, especially for somebody who created a brand for yourself, like, for me, you, and with your podcast, it's, like, it's an easy way for you to just market yourself. Like,
mm-hmm.
you just have to be you and put out yourself, so... I think it would be silly not to utilize social media in the way that, you know, in content creation, but, you know, it's not for everybody, so I totally get it, but I do believe it's a big reason why I am as successful as I am.
Yeah, that's awesome. So again, just a quick nod, check out Natalie Bell on social media. Her Instagram, her TikTok are booming, amongst other things, so check that out. I'll have it all in the description below. But Natalie, I have three more questions.
Okay.
We're going down a litany.
Okay.
Are you ready? First one, do you have any regrets in your life?
No, I don't live. I feel like regrets is such a negative word.
It
I think
is.
There sure. are things that I have done that I would say people just do the best that they can with where they're at, with what they know. So looking back, were there some things now, knowing what I know now, I would have done differently? Of course. But at that time, I didn't know. I didn't know what I know now. So I can't look back and be like, I regret that, because looking back at that girl that I was just trying the best that I could. Just
awesome.
Like we all are. So, no, I don't live with regrets. I try not to, at least.
That's great. I tell all my students, particularly the younger ones, we have a choice in every situation. We can either make a situation better by what we think is better, or we can make it worse, point blank. Because a lot of times what happens is when people make a bad decision, we fall either into one of two things. We're either going to work our tails off, backs against the wall, I'm fighting, and make it better.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Not work our tails off, crumble and just tumble into this awful bad decision.
Yeah.
I think back to like all this betting started, right? Not a better, hate losing money. But I decided I'm gonna bet on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady blew it, stunk, lost. I'm like, well, I gotta bet again, and it's like, no, I don't actually. But it's like that innate reaction. You're either gonna say, I'm gonna bet again and keep chasing it, and that's the idea. You're gonna keep making bad decisions, or you're gonna say, you know what? I elected, I'm like, I'm deleting all these apps. If that was my first thought, I'm deleting all these apps.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And you address it and try and make a better decision, make a situation better. And so with regrets, I just kind of think it's a nice way to, like, you look at something and you're like, all right, at that time I tried to make the situation better.
Yeah. And then I adjusted since then.
Yeah. Second question. I contend that people who are grateful, which it's clear to me you are through your discussion and the way you view things more so, people who are grateful have the most joyous lives. What role does gratitude play in your life, and how do you see it manifesting?
I feel like gratitude is a huge part of my life. I feel like everything that I've been through, I'm grateful for, because it's gotten to me to where I am today. So I don't necessarily like have like a gratitude journal or like speak like gratitudes, but I am very thankful for everything that I've been through, that I've been able to get myself through. I'm grateful for the people around me who have like helped me get to this point. And so I always feel like I get to like pay that forward in some way, like because I learned the things that I learned from the people around me, from things that, you know, I picked up, I get to now spread that forward. So I think it's a good way to kind of view gratitude, is like you, it's something that you can pass on. So
that's awesome. Yeah, it's a proven scientific fact, I guess, fact that being grateful for someone, like telling someone of your gratitude, is going to, of course, boost your dopamine and boost their dopamine too. And so quite literally you are passing it forward and passing it to yourself.
Yeah.
And that's, if you can do both at once, hey, it's even better.
I know. I think, I don't know, like, if you think this way too, but one of the best compliments is like, I'm so grateful for you. 100%. Such a good thing to hear.
Yeah.
Such a good thing to hear. So I try to say that a lot.
That's a great one. My dudes all think I'm weird, right? Like, I'm just like, hey man, like, grateful for you. And then it's like,
keep
it,
doing
it works.
It.
I know. Yeah.
Yes,
they're like,
you
want to actually. Show, yeah.
They're like, same.
Yeah. So my one buddy, Sean, he's always like, I appreciate you. He's like, I appreciate you. This is like constant. He's like, Sean on that. But that's another good one. It's the same thing. It's
I love that.
His
too.
Way of doing it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My last question for you, Natalie Bell, bring us home. Do you think, do you have any advice to anybody? You can offer it to a specific audience, to the audience abroad, to yourself, to whomever, or just
advice,
tip of information.
I would say,
closing remarks, basically.
You know, dive into why you are the way that you are. I think it's so important to understand who we are, why we think the way that we do, why we feel the way that we do. It helps us connect to us, which then helps us to connect with other people. Feeds into that self-awareness, which feeds into all aspects of our lives. So get really in touch with who you are, learn about you. That's something that I have really taken on in my life, and it's been like one of the best things that I've ever done for myself.
God, that's great. Yeah. You're going to reflect on that, and you're going to find all the stories and remember specific instances as like, you know what, this is actually a core memory, I guess, that is a reason why
shaped
I think this
me.
Way.
Yeah.
That's wild. So, that's a great way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
I've had the opportunity to work with people and who are developing their writing, a lot of students, a lot of just different people across the board, and I always encourage them, like, when they're going to write something, look back at your photos. If you ever have to do anything by yourself, I'm like, look back at your photos, and you were going to remember different instances in your life that at that point you captured a moment.
Yeah.
And look back at that, and you'll remember who you were, why you were doing it, what was going on, and like, all just because of a photo. And it's quick and it's kind of fun, and there's a nostalgia about it and all that, but it really triggers the mind in this reflective way.
So smart.
Yeah. To think and put back, and you'll remember the emotions, you'll remember the instance, you'll remember the place. So
yeah, it's such a good way to reflect. Like, look at a picture and then think about what you felt then and write it down.
And you'll know why you feel that way, think that way.
Yeah, I love that. That would
really
be a cool exercise. Take that with me.
Yeah, see, hey,
put in my tool belt.
Excellent. There we go. Life coaching.
Yep.
Chats with Matt. And on that note, everybody, I would like to thank you, Natalie Bell, for coming on and speaking with me. And of course, whomever may hear this, Natalie is a great life coach, a great nurse, and a great human being. Beautiful inside and out. It's been a real pleasure having you. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody, this has been another fantastic episode of Chats with Clark. If you haven't hit the subscribe button, you are, as we talked earlier, lazy. Just hit the subscribe button.
Do it.
Well worth your time. And what's even more worth your time is checking out Natalie Bell's content, which I will have linked in the description below on the podcast or in the pinned comment on YouTube, because YouTube still hates me. So this has been, again, another episode of Chats with Clark. I'm your host, Joe Clark, signing off. Thanks for tuning in.